80s show, Nate and the Ladies.
Coming to you live from the stop off between the Bay Area and Tahoe, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now wishing he were somewhere cooler too, here's Nate.
Hi, everybody.
So, what do you mean you wish you could be somewhere cooler? This is the coolest place to be with three ladies, pimp.
Oh, that's right. Ted's not here. The voice you just heard welcoming you to the show. That's our friend Diana Hong from the Well Hong Podcast.
What's up? Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
It's my favorite new podcast on NateDarlingShow.com.
Mine too. You guys can chime in too. If you, nope. Okay, cool.
Oh yeah, no, I like it. But I also
fishing
like
for compliments right now.
I also like the classic shows on the Nate Darling Show.
No, it's the favorite podcast. New show.
There are no bad shows.
No.
Oh, no.
I feel like every show is a new show, even if I've heard it multiple times.
It's exciting every single time.
Yeah.
Coming up on today's show, measles are back.
Yay.
Boo.
Yeah, exactly. Boo. Kevin Bacon explains the 80s. And we've got some other things to talk about, but first I have to yell at you guys.
Uh oh.
Yeah. Well, not Diana because she wasn't here last week. it's funny because I get comments from people pretty frequently who are like, "Oh, I don't know how you do it," because they all interrupt you, and I'm like, "Yeah, it's fine. It's not a big deal." Last week's show, especially Wednesday's show, I got multiple people like, "Oh my God, why would they not stop talking when you were trying to move forward?"
Which story?
I did, like, multiple times.
Okay.
Like I had multiple people like,
"Sorry, listeners."
Yeah.
So you know what I like is when we get these critiques on during the show.
Yeah.
Instead of off, you know, privately, well, so that we can make a change.
That's why it's nice and
I'm not going to change.
No, it's fair. But that's the way to do it, to make it uncomfortable. You've not listened to talk radio before. You do everything on the air to make it uncomfortable. No, that's it. That's it.
Was it an anonymous comment?
No. It was not. There were
how many people? Like at like percent? Was this like
I had
boards of people?
I
or?
Had three people. Three different people.
Wow.
Three different people. Who were like it was basically it was just because I noticed it too during the show, and I was
Ted
like,
noticed
you know,
it during the show. We interrupted Ted a lot.
That was the week before.
Oh
yeah. So it
but
was
that, no, it was last week. I don't know.
No,
I can't keep track.
Either way, it was just sort of like I would go to the next story and then somebody would throw in something else from the previous thing or from something completely unrelated, and it kind of rubbed people the wrong way. So that's it. Let's move on.
Well, consider us appropriately chastised, listeners.
That's right.
We will do what we
I'm
can.
I'm the listener's friend.
Wow. I'm really pumped to do these two shows tonight now.
Oh, stop it.
I think you guys should like just fucking rebel.
We're not going to let anybody finish the sentence now.
Yeah. Just fucking
or just
throw it to
named.
The man. Throw the middle finger to the man and be like, you know, "Oh, you were trying to let him say like one word," and be like, "Rainbows and kitties," like some random ass shit.
Yeah, that'll be great because then all of the listeners will stop listening and then no one will listen to the show.
But going back to interrupting.
Yes.
Yeah, back to interrupting. See? And plus,
I'm not saying I'm not saying don't interrupt me. I'm just saying when we move on to the next thing, if you don't have anything good, then
was it just the backtracking, or was it backtracking to like the particular subject that people were just like, "I'm over it, move on"?
No, well, it was the backtracking, and sometimes it wasn't even about the thing. It was like, "Oh, this reminds me of something completely different on a completely other subject." So yeah,
wait,
was,
we're not supposed to riff anymore?
No, we can riff, but when we moved on,
I want to know what these people want.
Mommy and Daddy, stop.
They just want to.
You know, the only way I can even do this show at all is by pretending that no one listens, because otherwise I would censor every single thing I say. So now that I know that people are listening and also thinking that I'm doing it wrong, you are not going to hear very much from me tonight.
Way to go, listeners. You broke Becca.
Aww. Well, your dick stories are my favorite.
It's true.
You can't censor the dicks. That's just rude. Can't censor the dick stories. Come on. Listeners, stop fucking shit up.
All
and
right.
Becca, don't censor yourself.
That's
the whole point. That's why Nate did it, so he can do this uncut and censored.
Yeah, no, and nobody wants you to stop talking or not express your opinion. No one's ever said that. No one said, "I wish they'd stop talking." Because then they could just
Probably
replace
not.
Their earbuds with plugs, and then they would just be hearing silence. Mm.
I think what he's trying to say is, like, you guys have a very, you know, on the show, we have a lot of things you want to talk about. So sometimes, like, to go back and like backtrack. It's to move forward to get to each topic. So it's like only see the light ahead. Maybe sort of. Speaking of which, I don't fucking know. I'm trying. I just want
Diana
Becca to say
Diana
something.
Is also the listener's friend.
I love everybody and everything. Buzz?
I believe it's my refrigerator. It's running.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my ears.
My headphones.
Yeah, yeah. No, you catch it. Yeah, oh. It is.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
That's the beating of my heart.
Oh.
Wait, I don't. That doesn't even make sense.
It's the electric vibe of excitement now that we're all like, oh, what can we do to fuck it up for people today?
That's what she said.
I think
it's
the tension in the room is all it is.
It's electric.
Hey, before we move on the Wednesday show here, Diana, you have a show coming up this week?
Oh, shit, that's right. I have a show on Thursday.
It's
at Chasers. I think it's on Roosevelt Road or something. I mean, on Facebook. I can hook you up with tickets. It's $5 with the crazy-ass lineup. So you get to see what I look like behind this sexy radio voice if you come to a show. Don't set the bar too high. Don't get too excited. But, you know, it'll be a good time. There's alcohol. And if you don't drink, there's cranberry juice. What else?
Shirley Temple's for
everybody. Yeah. I took my friend to a bar and she was like not drinking for a period and she's like, well, do they have non-alcoholic drinks? I was like, what do you think they make mixed drinks with? Like, they have juice and soda, you guys. Like, people forget that. So I just want to put it out there. If you don't have to drink to enjoy a comedy show at a bar.
Sure. You can have that cranberry and keep your urinary tract healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for you. So check Diana out tomorrow night if you're listening to this on Wednesday. If you're listening on Thursday, it's tonight. Also want to address one thing that we had an issue with technically last week. We had a problem with the Friday show, and I believe I figured that out. That was, well, it's not on me. It's on the website.
How many people complained about that?
About 5.
Sweet.
Yeah. So more people complained.
So we were not the biggest problem
in
podcast
land. The biggest problem was people couldn't get the show.
Well, there you go.
Because, and figured out the problem is that without getting too technically into it, basically the auto-posting feature on WordPress didn't work. So it was the shows go up at a certain time. I set them up to post at a certain time. They did not. When I hit just post anyway, it went up in iTunes for whatever reason, iTunes and Stitcher, neither one of them could figure out what the fuck the post was. So the people who were listening on iTunes didn't have anything to download.
No.
And that happened with the Well Hung podcast too on Monday morning. So yeah, I figured that out. So now I have to go in and manually do all of them. So not a big deal, but the problem has been addressed and fixed. So hope we will not have it again in the future. Or in future, if you like to say it that way. All right. Now, this happened last week, and I think we talked about it, too. Didn't we, the guy who called 911 on his cat?
I don't remember talking about that.
Okay.
That was on my show, fool.
Oh, okay. Well, I do a lot of shows.
My bad, Mr. Popular.
There you go. Anyway, a man in Portland, Oregon called 911 on his cat. And We have the phone call right now.
Yeah, hi. I have a kind of a particular emergency here. My cat attacked our 7-month-old child, and I kicked the cat in the rear, and it has went off over the edge, and we aren't safe around the cat. It's a very large Himalayan, and we're trapped in our bedroom. He won't let us out of our door.
Attention?
No, he's just got scratches on his forehead, but the cat, we don't know what to do about the cat. He's gone, he's trying to attack us. He's very, 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 very hostile.
So
I tried to get a hold of animal control.
Hang on just a second. You guys are inside your bedroom right now.
Yeah, and when I leave out the bedroom to let the police in, I'm going to have to fight this cat.
The cat is large. How large?
22 pounds, maybe.
That is a lot of cat.
984.
Okay, it is a lot of cat. But here's what happened. Basically, 7-month-old kid's on the ground or wherever, grabs the cat's tail. Cat turns around, whacks the kid in the head, and scratches the kid in the head. And the brilliant father, who's now calling 911 because he's going to have to fight the cat, immediately kicks the cat in the butt. So the cat has now had its tail grabbed. And then immediately after defending itself from that, been struck from behind, doesn't know anything, by something huge. So now it's been attacked twice. And now, so of course the cat's nuts.
Hef, your comment?
He's not 22 pounds yet.
I like how the operator was like, hold on, let me clarify the situation, because this shit's a little ridiculous. This is what your cat locked you in. Wow.
Yeah, they ran away. He goes on in the call to say that the cat got up on the refrigerator and the whole thing. But
it's like Birds. That movie, Alfred Hitchcock movie, where like, people are just scared. Like, you know, you see them watching and you're just like anticipating. I think he's more scared of the idea of what the cat can do as opposed to what the cat actually. I mean, but that's a fucking big cat.
My question here is, yes. Was this guy calling on a smartphone or a landline? And if he had a smartphone, could he have looked up Animal Control's number directly and just called them or something? I mean, I don't even know that you elevate this to that level. Well, either way, but because I mean, I've lived with some asshole cats,
right?
And but I don't think this has occurred.
No, he actually did try to call Animal Control first, but he couldn't get hold of anybody. Mm. So 911 ended up sending Animal Control over. So now they're apparently there. It's been back and forth. Are they going to keep the cat? Are they going to? It's like, no, please, somebody come and take the cat away from them, because they clearly are not bright enough to own a cat.
They shouldn't have a child.
Right. Well, we can't really do anything
CPS
about that.
CPS, be like, okay, there should be a measure of stupidity for parents where, like, finally CPS is like, all right, I think we can. It's like, you know how porn, no, there's like no exact definition. It's like, it's just kind of arbitrary.
Yeah, you know, and you see it.
Yeah, you know, when you see it. It's kind of like that stupidity. Like, CPS should be able to come in and like, okay, I think this is where we can say this is the line. We're taking your kid away because you guys don't know what the fuck you're doing.
We would have so many little children pounds. There would be like
pounds,
little pounds for little children, like like they have for pets. Where I adopted Ace and Hef. You know, they have a little enclosure. You can go in, you look at them, and go, oh, that one looks cute. Let's see if we bond. Because if you just took them away from people who are too stupid to have kids, then they would just be overrun in the shelters.
Isn't that what orphanages in like Asia and Africa do? Like, they just have kids, like where like people go and like, oh, you're cute. Oh, you play too. Like, that's how I picture Madonna getting all her kids and Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. That's how they got their fucking UN soccer team, whatever the fuck the Brangelina has.
I can't speak to that. For a number of reasons, mostly because I'm going to end up sounding like a horrible racist no matter what I say on that one. So anyway, the cat Lux, who's a Pomeranian, we'll see. Apparently their dog Smokey as well made it to the safety of the bedroom.
They grabbed the dog.
Yeah. Well,
what kind of dog is it? Yeah. And why the fuck isn't the dog doing its goddamn job?
Oh, when you get a cat that starts to go nuts, there's
is the dog like, check it, I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much.
put the paw down, be like, tapped out.
I'm done, cat. This is on you.
Yeah, the dog's like, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this right now. I'm going in the other room. When you calm down, then maybe we can hang out. And that's it. So, yeah. A lot of reasons to call 911. I don't know that that's a good one.
You know what I think this really tells us, though? God bless public records laws, right?
Oh yeah. Because I heard about it, and I'm like, I need to hear this call. I need to hear just how crazy this guy is.
I want to know if the operator was thinking, is this like a training thing? Am I being checked by my boss on how I handle calls? Keep it cool. Don't laugh. Be cool. I don't know.
It could be that, or it could be one of those things where she's wondering, do these assholes have a bobcat as a pet?
Oh, yeah. Fucking dumbasses with tigers
when
and
you
shit.
Say cat, what do you mean?
Yeah,
what define
feeling. You say large cat. What exactly are you talking about? Is this
like
Siegfried?
Full jaguar.
22 pounds.
Or is this Siegfried and or Roy? What's going on? So, well done, Portland. Way to keep it weird. Chelsea Handler, who I'm not normally a fan of, went on Piers Morgan Live.
I love Chelsea. Well, I'm just going to interrupt you then.
That's okay.
Because Chelsea is a fucking goddess.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. She's kind of mean.
So she went on Piers Morgan Live, and I will say this. I'm going to completely and totally be on Chelsea Handler's side on this one. So let's take a listen to this wonderful. You know, if Piers Morgan had more of these interactions, his show might not have been canceled. That's
how do you spend your life when you're not working? Well, what will your life here be this week? What will you do?
Well, I am working this week.
After the show, where do you go? What do you do?
Well, I have to come here and tolerate this nonsense, and then I have
this nonsense is designed to flog your tawdry book.
I know. I'm going to go to a book signing at Target in Westwood, and then I go on the road every weekend and perform live stand-up comedy and do book signings, and, you know, that's it. I'm a workhorse. I'm a workaholic.
You tweet very amusingly.
I wish you did. I mean, in the middle of the commercial break, I want your viewers to know. They must know because they're probably following you on Twitter. I mean, you can't even pay attention for 60 seconds. You're a terrible interviewer.
Well, you just weren't keeping my attention. That's more an issue for you than me.
That's not my problem.
What is your problem?
This is your show. You have to pay attention to the guests that you invited on your show.
Is that interesting enough?
Yeah, they are. Listen, it doesn't matter how interesting I am. You signed up for this job.
Of course it does.
Well, maybe that's why your job is coming to an end.
Wow.
So what's her point? That's why I don't like her. Like, ooh, shock me with your deviant behavior. Like, okay,
she was defending herself.
What did he say?
He was saying she was boring and like she wasn't
she was like,
what do you do? Like when she's like, I'm working. And then he like attacked her and I was like, no, you don't work. Like that's like when people like called Justin Bieber and I was like, he doesn't work. He's lazy and all this shit. It's like, yeah, he does a lot of stupid shit, but he is an entertainer and he works his ass off. Like Chelsea, she works her fucking ass off. Like people underestimate what stand-ups comedians do, entertainers do. They think, oh yeah, they just see them partying a lot and doing this and that. Like, that's networking. That's also working for them to a certain extent. Lindsay took it a little far, but it is still working and still networking. And
she was good in the beginning.
She was good in the beginning. But like, yeah, if someone came up to me and was like, yeah, you don't, what do you do? You're not working. I'm like, fuck you, dude. Like,
no, I mean, I agree with that, but I think that her reaction to a kind of innocuous, dull question just took it in a completely different direction.
I think
that's basically clickbait for her fans. I get it. It's her entire MO is like,
that's what
girls can be assholes too. I'm funny by my book. But she's on the show. She's on the show just to pimp her shit out. So,
well, yeah, but like you can. She called him out. Like he's a shitty interviewer. Like he doesn't really keeps the. And he's like, oh, you're not an interesting guest. It's like you don't do your job right. You as someone that interviews someone, you're supposed to make that person seem like the most interesting person, even if they're boring as hell. But because you have them on your show, you want to help. Like your job is, that's your job.
I guess.
And he if you're gonna come at someone who's a known smartass, you better be on your A game. He was on his fucking C game, and she just fucking went to town. And that's what I think is brilliant. And she's such a smartass.
I'd want to see what happened before the clip picks up. Like, what was the interaction prior to the commercial break they're talking about?
And now everyone's going to watch, or people are going to watch because they're curious. Yeah. It's a great plug. I love Chelsea. I think it's because she's a smartass and she doesn't take bullshit. Sometimes she goes a little far. I agree. I think sometimes she's just kind of an asshole and a little too crude, I guess, because I'm a lady. And but yeah, I think she's fucking brilliant.
To be fair, Diana, that could have been his A game. His A game is probably not going to measure.
That was me being nice and saying it was a C game. I thought I'd be polite today.
I think where that whole thing went awry was he sort of intimated that she wasn't working, and she's in the middle of a book tour, which anybody who's been on one and seen people who are on them, that's just a drag on every fiber of your being, because it's answering the same questions over and over again. And it's part of the deal. But if somebody is on a huge book tour and they're touring, and you should know about what your subject does as an interviewer. So this goes to that. If you're sort of intimating that, oh, you don't really do that much, what do you do? I think that's where he sort of pissed her off. And then she went off on him. But
yeah, I mean, she had every right to. I think people definitely underestimate the whole, like, how emotionally exhausting it is to deal with people and the same questions, like you said, over and over. Like, people are wonderful and individual and all that shit, but it is the same fucking questions. And overall, it's the same fucking people going through, and you have to play nice to a certain extent because you want fans. And that is emotionally exhausting.
Sure. Now, this was sort of disturbing. Shopping for bikini is traumatic enough, of course, without worrying about accidentally coming in contact with some stranger's dried menstrual blood. But for one unlucky Victoria's Secret shopper in San Diego, that's exactly what happened. Reader Pauline visited a Victoria's Secret store in San Diego's University Town Center around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Store is busy, but not so busy that she had to wait for a fitting room. An associate encountered her items, assigned her a room, and then, well, get ready. Basically, this is what she wrote. The bikini bottoms all had plasticky sanitary strips in them, which I could feel when I was pulling them on. Obviously, I left my underwear on, but I was pulling off a pair of bikini bottoms. I noticed dried blood in the crotch. Not even a small drop, a quarter-sized amount, plus smears all around the sanitary strip. It was awful. Somehow that garment had been picked up from the fitting room, put back on its hanger, and re-racked, where she grabbed it to try it on. Now, not being a lady, I don't, and not having tried on ladies' swimwear, what, does this seem at all, like, plausible, or...
It's plausible.
In Victoria, in the staff's defense, if it took the lady for her to... She didn't even check that shit before she tried it on. We can still... let's call that bitch out being dirty as hell, all right? How the hell are you going to try something on, not check it first, and then bitch about it after you... You find, like, at least lie in the story and be like, I went in the dressing room and I saw this is disgusting. She had to take it off and to see it. So, like, yeah, it's obviously a human mistake. That's... I'm more disgusted by the girl that fucking left. Like, somehow, dude, homegirl, clean your shit up. Like, don't wear white. I don't know.
Wear white.
Don't shop at Victoria's Secret.
Yeah, just
done. Problem solved.
.com. See, now, Pauline, now she has to speak with the manager who pulled her aside and gave her some hand sanitizer and a 30% off coupon. So, I mean, I think that's fair.
Yeah, because she definitely was a... I love when stores do that. They're like, oh, you found something wrong with their product. Let me give you a coupon for you to come back.
Right.
But it's going to be cheaper.
That's right. That's right. Next, 30% off the flawed item. Whatever you want. Yeah, I don't know. It's got to be really hard being a lady sometimes.
I had a friend that actually posted a status about how she made a painting with her menstrual blood. It gets better. She posted the pictures on Facebook of the paintings she did with her menstrual blood.
How do you
I'm opposed to the whole thing.
How do you collect that much? You got to use like a diva cup for that or something,
right? I think that's, yeah.
Because you can't Becca squeeze
is
it
nodding.
Out of the...
You can't hear.
No, I have, I actually interviewed an artist once for the paper that makes, she makes things out of hair and blood and different stuff like that. And she's actually like an award-winning artist. Although I did go to college at UC Santa Cruz where like every other feminist student paints a picture of a goddess with her menstrual blood. But yeah, the award-winning professional artist did in fact use a diva cup to collect blood to use in her work.
Huh. You would, yeah, you'd have to. I don't know. I don't know. Should we be as gross? Should we be grossed out by all of this, or should we go, oh, it's art? They just used a different medium. I mean, it's not going to jump off of the canvas at you.
Well, it's like some people like that go down on a girl or still have sex with a girl when she's on her period. Like, I personally don't. But there's a thing in like the lesbian community. I saw this on the Real L Word. Oh, fuck. I forgot. It's like Red Wings. I think that's what they call it. It's like, yeah, I got my red wings or something. That's like a saying that they'll go down on a girl that is on her period. And I guess it's not something to be. But that's how diseases and shit get spread. If it's just like a random bitch in the fucking... dressing room, that's a little different, I guess. I would be disgusted.
I'd be grossed out, sure. But there's always, like, I mean, the world is kind of full of disgusting bodily secretions. Like, how many times do you go into a bathroom and then you just wonder, like, why is there some shit smeared on the wall? What chain of events occurs to some person smearing some poop on the wall? Like, was the toilet roll out? Has nobody cleaned it lately? How does this happen?
And they're just like, fuck everybody.
I'm just gonna
smear
that right there.
What happens when you don't
like
refill your toilet paper.
So I don't know. Out of this story, I'm gonna give it a not a thing.
Yeah.
That it's a random occurrence and
yeah,
you know?
It seems weird. But do women's swimsuits have like that plastic?
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to.
Yeah, because that totally. I'm sure that totally keeps you safe.
That's so.
No germs can penetrate that.
Yeah.
Ever.
It works for the toilets at hotels. I mean, they put that thing sanitized for your protection. Right. Right over the...
Exactly.
See, this is why I buy my underwear at Target and packages. No, I got cuter shit than that.
Because maybe. Inspector 12's not trying those on at the factory.
Exactly. No one's touched it. No one's tried it on. Yeah, I definitely. That's like admitting to wearing granny panties. Nope. I'm going shopping tomorrow. I'm going to stop talking.
Okay. Hey, whatever. Whatever. No one's there. This is a judgment-free zone. Well, for the most part. Anyway. So Kevin Bacon's been around for a while. He went on YouTube to explain the 80s to millennials. So I think this will be interesting because Diana qualifies as a millennial and we all have an understanding of the 80s. So let's see how this works out.
Oh, hi. I'm 2-time Saturn Award nominee Kevin Bacon, and I would like to talk to you about 80s awareness. Awareness of 80s culture and technology has been in a significant decline, especially amongst a certain demographic. I'm talking to you, millennials. All you guys born after 1985 have no idea how hard life was. If I was too shy to ask a girl out, there was no OK Twinder. I went to the White Pages, Google it, and called her house. And then you had to make small talk with her mom for like 20 minutes before Alicia even came to the phone. And let me tell you, when she turns down your invitation to Sparrows, you can't just swipe away the hurt.
It's very true.
Want to know my favorite app? Rubik's Cube. I saw you tweet an article about Russia. You think Russia's a threat now? Let me tell you about a little thing called the Cold War. They had nukes pointed at us for 20 years. You couldn't even skateboard to a Blockbuster without getting nuked. My friend
Tommy still do. Still true.
Went out to rent a copy of Gremlins and never came back. You know why? Nuked. At least that's what my parents told me. Hey, I'm trying to make a point here. What, you guys can't pay attention for more than 2 minutes? I forget it, I've had it. Somebody take this mic, please. You people will never know the comfort of parachute pants.
He walks out, and there's like a group of hipsters on their phones, just all looking down at them, and leaves them with that line. You will never know. Do you know the comfort of parachute pants, Christiana? Have you ever had a pair?
No, but I believe their aughts analog is the yoga pants.
Mm.
So I do know the comfort of those. If you just add a little elastitrim to the leg band, basically, you're gonna be parachute pants.
No, parachute pants are a little different, I think. Becca, did you have parachute pants at any point?
I thought they were for men.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but their ladies could wear them too.
I mean, peg jeans. You get like peg leg jeans.
Yeah, those were not comfortable.
No,
but I had
not
those.
At all.
I had the ones with the zippers on the ankles.
Little bow.
Yeah, little bow. Acid wash.
I had one pair of parachute pants, and they had so many zippers on them. There's zippers
were
everywhere.
They neon? Was there neon on them anywhere? Or like splatter effect?
No. The ones I had were just plain black because I lived in Vermont.
What's the fun of that?
I lived in Vermont. We were lucky we had parachute pants.
Did you have a members only jacket to go with it?
Sadly, there was no place in Vermont to buy a members only jacket until after they were not cool anymore.
Yeah. A members only jacket is probably like a summer shirt in Vermont.
Yeah. Pretty much. It's just very weird. I mean, the thing you have to remember about where I grew up, and if you grew up anywhere near a reasonable sized city, remember the really small towns that people make fun of around Northern California, most of them have more population than some of the largest places in Vermont. Mm. So there's not really, I mean, when I go back, it's like I'll go back and like the University Mall is the biggest mall in the state of Vermont. And it's in Burlington, and I walk through it. You can walk from end to end in 10 minutes.
Is it like the size of Arden Fair?
No.
Arden Fair is pretty big.
It's about half the size of Arden Fair, but it's one level.
Okay.
Except for the Sears that they built, which is
three. Why would
that
take you 10 minutes then?
Well, I'm saying if you take your time.
Okay. You're strolling.
Yeah, you're strolling. You can do a loop around the food court. You can go to the... By the way, their FYE is still open at last check.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
We still have Orange Julius in Citrus Heights. What?
Well, yeah.
Well, I think there's a tie in there, isn't there? Julius, Citrus.
Yeah. Orange,
I like
it.
She
did.
I like that you just linked the Julius to Citrus and not the Orange to Citrus.
Maybe my brain's not working properly. That could be.
Sorry to interrupt you to make that point.
All right, so it's that time in the show when we do this thing here. Let me find the button.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in cooler tool, being rudely honest, Diana.
cool and tool if it's not timed or done properly.
Becca, what say you?
Completely tool.
Christiana?
Tool.
Yeah, it is tool. You may be funny about it, but you're still kind of a tool. Just saying. Up next in cooler tool, trying on clothes. Becca.
Well, I know that this is related to the disgusting news story that we heard, but in general, you should always try on your clothes before you buy them, because that way you make sure that you're getting a good value.
Christiana?
Trying on clothes is good.
Okay.
Sure. You should, I guess, be aware of your surroundings, your clothes components, just in case.
So to speak.
So as to avoid unfortunate, I don't know, fuck it. Like, as if I'm bathing suit shopping that often, really. I don't give a shit about the story.
Okay.
So.
Diana?
I'm going to go with cool, but make sure you check it first. Yeah, other people wear. I always wash my clothes after I buy them too. So cool if you've done properly. I'm big on doing shit properly.
Yeah, you're supposed to wash your clothes. You're doing it right. You're supposed to wash your clothes right after you buy them. I don't do that because I'm a guy. I'm lazy. Trying on clothes, tool. I'm a guy. It was funny because somebody, our friend Juliana, posted about. Hey guys, you'd be crazy too if the same size, if your size pant was somewhere between a 6 and a 10.
Yeah, it's insane.
And my reply was, good thing you like clothes shopping so much, because I'm a dick. Anyway, finally in cooler tool, I own it. Cooler tool, Kevin Bacon, Christiana.
He's cool.
Becca?
Cool.
Diana?
I watched The Following. I fucking love Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon has been cool forever.
He's one of the measures of like true love, because if him and Kara Sedgwick ever break up, like that will be the day that love dies. They're one of the few like long-term Hollywood couples.
Don't jinx it.
Nah, I know. I just do what we can.
All right, I don't know. That's it for Cooler Tool. Let's let the music play for a second while I Google something. Forgot her name now. God damn it! Oh yeah, there
we
go.
You trying to look up?
No, I got it.
Oh, you got it.
Oh, we got it.
I'm gonna start calling other things cooler tool to keep this music going.
I know.
You cool this tool that tool. You cool.
All right, let me continue on to this. One of my links went away, so that's the whole thing. So measles are back in New York City now, thanks to people not vaccinating their kids.
I'm going there in May. Anybody want some measles?
Becca's bringing them back. Yeah. Basically, as of last Friday, 16 cases of highly contagious measles, which is a respiratory virus, had been reported in New York City. Despite having been officially eliminated in the U.S. since 2000, measles can still make its way back into communities when people bring it in from overseas. Damn foreigners. Anyway, from there, the disease still wouldn't get very far in a community where people were immunized. Yet it seems now people are refusing to get the message. Beyond the cases reported in New York, measles has cropped up everywhere from San Diego to Boston to a suburb of Vancouver. The former is particularly scary because 100 cases have shown up recently. Now, according to the CDC, following the proper vaccination schedule of 2 doses is nearly 100% effective at preventing measles. That's happening.
So that's my question. Like, if we all went through the measles that vaccines we were supposed to have as children, we don't need any kind of adult booster at this point, even though the cases are popping out.
I don't know the answer to that.
I feel like I should know, considering my kid just got her MMR jab like a week ago.
Good.
But I don't. Doctor didn't mention it. They did mention there was a big push to get, to have adults get the Tdap booster, which is the tetanus one, the one that people usually got for tetanus, but that also covers whooping cough. And then that right. came back.
Yeah,
there was a push to make sure that like parents, people who are going to be around little kids, got that one. So that one you do need like every 10 years. But I don't think you need an MMR booster. I don't know.
I would ask my doctor if I were going someplace where they had a bunch of cases.
I almost have one of those. I just got my like Obamacare.
Yeah.
Here's the big like, you know, the big binder that they mail to your house. Like, okay. Pick your plan. You're ready. Like I signed up months ago and all of a sudden the binder showed up. So
is it like binders of women?
Yes.
Oh,
it's binders of dentists and doctors.
Ooh, some of them women.
I get dental care, you guys. I'm so excited.
Yay.
Excellent.
Jealous. Wait, what the fuck are measles?
It's a respiratory thing.
Obviously, that's what
you get the spots on. You get your spots. Oh. You get a bunch of little measly spots.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
and you get your sick. Tummy. Yeah, and I was
like, that's a thing now.
It's a thing again. It's all retro because retro stuff's like super cool.
Eighties is awesome, according to
1880s.
Oh shit!
Well. And in related news, the person I love to hate for causing this whole thing, Jenny McCarthy, because she did research because she read things on blogs and
University
stuff.
University of Google.
Yeah.
That's where she went.
She said that. She took to Twitter and she asked, what's the most important personality trait that you look for in a mate? Reply using hashtag Jenny asks. So people who tend to think like I do replied. Saying things like, my ideal mate is smart and loves science/vaccines. Basically, she's the opposite of you, Jenny. Hashtag Jenny asks. Getting real sage advice from scientists and not nonsense from Playboy Playmates. Hashtag Jenny asks. And as a researcher who grew up the older brother of a man with autism, I prefer those who choose legit science over profiteering. Hashtag Jenny asks. And finally, hashtag Jenny asks, I'd much rather have an autistic mate than a mate with measles, or even worse, a selfish mate who won't vaccinate his kids.
Three of those four are well-constructed slams.
Yeah.
The fourth one that says, I'd rather blah, 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 scientist than a Playboy playmate is full of fail when it's really easy to go after her. You shouldn't. Slamming Jenny McCarthy based on various jobs she's held
right.
is stupid. Slamming her based on her raging ignorance, stupidity, and like the damage she causes to the world, totally fair.
Yeah, and that's
and
always
fuck that person for making me defend Jenny McCarthy in any context.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like the difference between just criticism and constructive criticism. You can't just go up to someone and say you're ugly and not tell them why.
You should say those parachute pants are ugly.
Those black ones.
Oh, cold
burn.
Let's
just drop a couple of degrees and put my jacket on.
Let's go directly to Twitter for a couple of extras. Let's see if it's I plan to marry someone who is kind, thoughtful, creative, also someone who thinks critically and understands how science works.
I like the one that says pro-vaccine moms are so dramatic. All these diseases will do is make kids a little sick and then kill them.
What the fuck?
That's an Onion article.
Okay.
I can't read the stuff in blue.
No,
my glasses only allow me to pick out the words in black.
Yeah, and Jim Taylor says an ideal mate, someone who will admit when she's wrong and also not be responsible for pandemics that kill millions of children. To be fair, she's only killed thousands of people, or about 1,300, according to the website that counts the number of people who die from preventable diseases. Speaking of reality show people who don't have a really good idea, Kristen Cavallari from The Hills, I believe.
And Laguna Beach and the Hills.
She's
fucking.
And she's, one cameo on Veronica Mars.
Mm-hmm.
She's been a dumb bitch since she started.
Well, she's decided not to vaccinate her kids too, so she's refusing patently. In an interview on Fox Business Channel, she admitted that she and her husband, Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler, do not believe in vaccinating their children due to autism fears.
I don't believe in thing, really.
Right.
They have what all is the that? Money to like. I don't understand. They're just fucking. And what's so, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I think it's like kind of a double-edged sword. And it's like, yeah, okay, don't vaccinate because we're having, she has the autistic kid, right?
Jenny McCarthy does.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, actually, she doesn't.
Oh, she doesn't?
No, her kid was misdiagnosed.
Oh,
he's no longer autistic.
No longer. Oh, that's awful.
Oh, because she cured him, right?
Yeah, but as it turns out, he may never have been autistic to begin with, which is the very seldom but should be screamed to the mountaintop footnote to her entire fucked up saga. Also, partly Oprah's fault for giving her a stage.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
thank
but,
you.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing. It's like, okay, you know, this causes this thing supposedly, and oh, but I still love my child just the way they are.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with it. They're not, there's nothing wrong with them, but if you can prevent it, like, I think it's just kind of fucked up in a way.
I will say this, you have every right to not vaccinate your children. If you decide to go with all of the other people who refuse to vaccinate their children to a place away from the rest of society so that you don't infect us with all of these diseases, you horrible, horrible people. Go create your own society of people who don't want to get vaccinated.
Well, it's like if the kid gets the measles, they have the money to fucking take care of that shit.
Yeah, but it's a little more than that. But anyway.
No, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, that's probably why they're fucking... I mean, if they're probably going away with it. Like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, we don't want to do... I hate stupid people. Like, I've had a bad day with stupid people, and I just really hate them.
Well, she defended her choice, citing books as her rationale. She said, listen, to each their own. I understand both sides of it.
No, you don't.
I've read too many books about autism, and there's some scary statistics out there.
No, there's not.
It's our personal choice. And, you know, if you're really concerned about your kid, get them vaccinated.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, we have to all be vaccinated.
Science.
So dumb blondes don't understand.
Will the audience allow me to tell a tangential but vaccine-related story?
Absolutely.
A cute anecdote?
Yeah.
So it took my kid for her 4-year checkup. And it was an optional shot visit. There's some shots you get before they let you into school, unless you're an asshole who goes for an exemption. So it's like they vaccinate for chickenpox now, which is a great advancement from when I was a kid and was sent out to play with the kids with chickenpox.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you get it when you're a kid. And so we asked the doctor about shots. My kid wasn't super keen on it, but she's usually a trooper when she gets the flu shot every year. Like it ain't no thing. And so I said, well, let's go ahead and give her, go ahead, why not? Especially reading all the stuff about how these illnesses are out there. I'm like, well, if everyone else is going to have measles, my kid won't. So the nurse came in, and I guess most of the kids who get the flu vaccine, there's a nasal spray version of it. And I think the nurse who came to give the shots didn't know that my kid had like shots recently before. And so, in order to be cute about it, you know, they take the little alcohol thing and they clean your skin where they're going to give you the injection. And for some reason, the nurse thought it would be amusing to like play with a kid and go like boop on her nose with the alcohol swab. At which point my kid was like, I don't want to get a shot in my nose. No. And then she just loses it. And I was like, good intentions there, nurse. However, I think you fucked this one up pretty bad.
Nurses are fucking retarded.
And I was sad. It was terrible. So
that is so sad. And I can't blame her because that's what you know. You get swabbed
with
the alcohol
and
then
everything goes. And she was like, no.
Yeah,
so,
I wouldn't want to shot my nose either.
Although I also have to say I also failed my kid because I prepared her to get a shot even though she was going to get two shots. And so the nurse did one in her arm. And then grabbed the other one. And then my kid was just like, I said one shot. I didn't say two shots. And I was like, oh, sorry. And then it all fell apart. So, well, but at least she won't have to get another shot for like 2 years. So hopefully by then she will kind of not remember.
On the bright side, you're preparing her for the disappointment of life ahead.
I know.
That's good parenting.
Shit happens, kid. Sometimes you get more than one shot.
That's could be seen as positive.
I know.
You know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Except not like opportunity. Then sometimes you get none.
Exactly.
There's been a lot of talk about Obamacare. And now, Becca, you've got insurance now because of Obamacare. And
yay, Obamacare.
The GOP doesn't seem to want to let this go. And they keep dragging people up to Capitol Hill about different things and about how this is bad. Well, they brought in a doctor from Canada to testify about things. And she sort of set things straight, so to speak.
Senator Burr,
Dr. Martin, in your testimony, you note that Canadian doctors exiting the public system for the private sector has had the effect of increasing waiting lists for patients seeking public health care. Why are doctors exiting the public system in Canada?
Thank you for your question, Senator. If I didn't express myself in a way that to make myself understood, I apologize. There are no doctors exiting the public system in Canada. And in
you moron.
In fact, we see a net influx of physicians from the United States into the Canadian system over the last number of years. What I did say was that the solution to the wait time challenge that we have in Canada, which we do have a difficult time with waits for elective medical procedures, does not lie in moving away from our single-payer system towards a multi-payer system. And that's borne out by the experience of Australia. So Australia used to have a single-tier system and in the 1990s moved to a multiple payer system where private insurance was permitted. And a very well-known study by Duckett et al. Tracked what took place in terms of wait times in Australia as the multi-payer system was put in place. And what they found was in those areas of Australia where private insurance was being taken up and utilized, waits in the public system became longer.
What do you say to an elected official who goes to Florida and not the Canadian system to have a heart valve replaced?
It's actually interesting because, in fact, the people who are the pioneers of that particular surgery, which Premier Williams had, and had the best health outcomes in the world for that surgery, are in Toronto at the Peter Munk Cardiac Center just down the street from where I work. But so what I say is that sometimes people have a perception, and I believe that actually this is fueled in part by media discourse, that going to where you pay more for something, that necessarily makes it better, but it's not actually borne out by the evidence on outcomes from that cardiac surgery or any other.
Well, one would believe the American people prefer their system because they know consciously they pay more. No, I think it's because they judge quality and they judge innovation. Ms.
Don't shit on Canada, you dick.
You noted that more than 42,000 Canadians.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick about the whole thing.
This is the big question, though.
Okay, here we go.
Here. Why is that?
You gotta
because they find that they're on a waiting list in
quality and they judge innovation. Ms. Pipes, in your testimony, you noted that more than 42,000 Canadians come to the United States each year for health care. Why is that?
Because they find that they're on a waiting list in Canada for too long a period and they feel that their health is at stake. So a lot of people in Canada come to the U.S. for MRIs, CT scans. There are many examples in the media of people like Brian McCreath, who came to the U.S. because he was told by his primary care doctor that he might have a brain tumor, but the wait for an MRI was very long. He spent the $1,000, came to the U.S., paid out of pocket. You will see advertisements in Canadian newspapers for MRIs, for neurosurgery.
It's a pretty fertile ground to market in.
Right.
Dr. Martin, in your testimony, you state that the focus should be on reducing waiting times in a way that's equitable for all. What length of time do you consider to be equitable when waiting for care?
Well, in fact, the Wait Time Alliance in Canada, sir, has established benchmarks across a variety of different diagnoses for what's a reasonable period to wait. And what we've found is that actually working within the single-payer system, we can reorganize things. You know, I waited more than 30 minutes at the security line to get into this building today. And when I arrived in the lobby, I noticed across the hall that there was a second entry point with no lineup whatsoever. Sometimes it's not actually about the amount of resources that you have, but rather about how you organize people in order to use your cues most effectively. And that's what we're working to do because we believe that when you try to address wait times, you should do it in a way that benefits everyone, not just people who can afford to pay.
On average, how many Canadian patients?
Wait. Here's the part. There's a good line. Might be now.
She has a lot of good lines.
I know. Give it another couple seconds.
Down. You got it.
It's on a waiting list die each year. Do you know?
I don't, sir, but I know that there are 45,000 in America who die waiting because they don't have insurance at all.
Bam! Boom! And with that, I want her to be like, I don't have to answer any your fucking questions. I am just, not a citizen of your country.
You just fucking take the mic, drop it, and walked off.
Yeah.
Done, son.
That's Senator Burr from North Carolina, and he got burned. I want her to be my doctor.
She's pretty badass.
If she's not married, I want her to be my third wife.
or if she's gay, she can be my first.
She can wash my car. Anything that she wants to do, I'm down. I'm down because that is a smart lady.
That is a smart lady.
Did you say wash your car?
Yeah, whatever she wants.
Because she would want to, wouldn't it?
She might want you to wash
her
car.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're talking about once, I think the role should be reversed.
I don't care what she wants. I'm saying she can do whatever she wants. I'm down. That's all I'm saying.
Like,
whatever she wants.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Maybe you can drive my car. I will drive her car. I will drive her car with a ridiculous license plate frame. That was something we talked about off the show.
So wait a second. Does this mean that you're no longer going to marry the woman who caught her own bike thief and then mooned Reddit?
I think here's what they have in common. Both Canadian, both smart. So that's
we are all in the wrong country.
Well, at least I am, apparently.
Well, to marry Nate, we're in the wrong country.
That's true.
Well, or to have good health care.
Yeah. You've
already married a foreigner, so
it's true. I have. And he's imported.
Canada produced Justin Bieber, so I'm obviously in the wrong country.
Well, if it's about Justin Bieber, I think you're on the wrong team too, honey. So, So that happened on Capitol Hill, and
I love Canada.
I do too. I do too. And I hate it when people shit on Canada for no good reason.
Yeah.
Because
fuck those people.
And she made a really, really good point. It's like, okay, we know we have a problem with this. We have an organization that's looking into ways to solve it, not to just throw out the whole system because, oh, we have a problem. Well, why would we look at solving it?
Also, did the whole country, the entire Republican Party, just go fucking amnesiac about the amount of time you wait in this country for medical care?
Yes. Yeah, try going to an emergency room sometime.
Right?
Even if you have insurance.
People die sitting in emergency rooms.
If you have to go to an emergency room, unless you're having heart pains.
Always claim heart pains.
Then,
or inability to breathe. Always.
Is that what it? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, there are various things. I got rushed to the front once, and I had no idea why. It wasn't like chest pains or anything. I'm like, yeah, I got some swelling in my leg, and my leg is really warm. And they're like,
DVT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was like, boom.
What's DVT? Yeah.
Deep vein thrombosis.
Mm-hmm.
I have an emergency room tip for the locals. One time, my friend broke her toe on a Friday night, and we went to an emergency room in the Carmichael area and were told it would be a 9-hour wait. So we got back in the car, drove to Roseville, about 15 minutes. 15
Dang.
Minutes, Roseville emergency room on a Friday night.
Dang.
So
that's
if
Roseville
you can drive to the
shit.
Fancier neighborhood,
there should be an app for that, like the next bus app.
Right.
Be like, to which thing? I will say, like, we changed insurance to Kaiser when I got a new job, and they have been very speedy with emergency room visits. And with scheduling stuff, I don't know how they do it differently, but when I had every other HMO or PPO I've ever had, and then I've been lucky enough to have coverage, it's always like, oh, you're a new patient? You just want a physical? We'll see you in 45 days. I mean, granted, it's not emergency stuff, but you wait all the time. You have some panel of HMO people saying what healthcare you can get. All of these demon problems that they pin on Obamacare totally exist right now, but it's okay because it's market driven or some shit.
It's private businesses,
right?
Because
so
you
that
have
must
a
be fine
as a consumer.
Sure.
Choose that weight, and that's
super
the American
choicey
way.
Oh yeah,
nothing but choice.
I heard about, and we'll talk about this next show because it's too big of a thing to get into here. Have you guys heard about the dumbass who wants to split California into six separate states?
Yes.
I heard,
hashtag not a thing.
I heard him on the Adam Carolla show. I got so angry I turned it off. We'll talk about his idiotic ideas next show because I do want to have a discussion about how ridiculous the whole thing is. But now we have to go to a different ridiculous state and talk about other ridiculous things. That's right. It's time for Florida Corner. This one's just kind of weird. Headline, Florida man manufactures Kawasaki, spelled Kowasaki, Kawasaki motorcycles out of animal bones.
Oh, what? Ew.
That's right. For more than 10 years, Orange City resident Reese Monroe has been using animal bones to manufacture motorcycles. His latest chopper, the Kawasaki, is debuting in the Ormond Beach showroom as part of Bike Week in 2014. It's a $55,000 creation made from four cow skulls and bones from alligators, raccoons, and pigs. Moore said, "I just love working with bones." The 65-year-old has never actually ridden a motorcycle, and if he ever does, it won't be one of his custom choppers because they're strictly for decoration and don't actually run. So basically, it's a $55,000 piece of art made of bones.
Wow.
As a motorcycle.
That is disgusting. Like, isn't that like...
Is it painted with menstrual blood?
Yeah. That'll make it 60 grand.
No, it's bleached white. It's weird. It almost looks like something out of the Flintstones. If you look at the picture, it's all very white. It's all very Flintstone-y, but it's every bit Florida.
And Florida is so classy. Keep it classy there. You guys still owe me my fucking W-2s, douchebags.
And a Citizen Born member in Florida is being criticized after she made a miscalculation about what would be deemed as funny and gave the one-armed Heil Hitler salute during a town meeting. That's right.
This bitch.
Yeah, she was directing the gesture at the Village of Wellington's Planning and Development Services Director, Tim Stillings, in an attempt to compare the power he had to control... to the control that Hitler had over the Nazis. She mainly did not understand why Stillings or members of his staff would be able to look at project applications independent of input from her development review committee under a new proposal that was introduced at the Planning, Zoning, and Adjustment Board meeting. In a videotape, Stillings can be heard saying, "Wow, wow, that might be a bit over the top, I think." So, yeah, when political meetings go... See, everybody wonders why local news stations go to, like, government meetings. Part of it is because you want to know what's going on, and part of it is because you secretly hope shit like this is going to happen.
That is true.
Absolutely. I kind of want to attend Sacramento's now.
Well, they have it every Tuesday night.
Do they? It's just exciting. I feel like I should just move to Florida and go to theirs from now on.
Well, I don't know about that. Didn't you just live in Florida?
Yeah, but I didn't have time for that shit. I was actually doing productive shit.
Now you've got time
to visit a book tour.
Working my ass off, shaking hands, kissing babies. I don't know. Fuck it.
Well, if you want to get some smart humor or some informed humor, although here's the problem. You get smart and informed, but you get out of Sacramento and no one's going to know what the fuck you're talking about. Because you can get super informed about what's going on here and go, "Oh, man, Mayor Johnson, blah, 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 blah," and have this great, brilliant thing. But as soon as you get to Dixon, the joke is useless. Get a map if you don't live in Northern California.
Man, that's so true.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting story out of Alabama. A judge ruled last Wednesday that two women who were legally married in Iowa cannot divorce in Alabama because they don't recognize same-sex marriages. Circuit Judge Karen Hall of Hunt. That's right. Well, if you don't recognize the marriage, then you can't issue a divorce.
Got to protect the sanctity of divorce.
Well, no, it just doesn't. Well, you wouldn't grant a divorce to a couple that you don't recognize as married, would you? I mean,
yeah, I would.
Well, you can't, because that's her logic anyway. It was a two-sentence order throwing out the uncontested divorce of Cherie Michelle Richmond and Kristen Elise Richmond. Cherie filed the complaint saying the two were legally married in Dubuque, Iowa in 2012. The suit said the two women who are separated no longer get along and want a divorce.
They can't play nice with each other, so they're just getting a divorce.
The other woman didn't fight the divorce, but the judge's decision said the case was being dismissed because laws in Alabama, which still prohibit same-sex unions, do not apply. The Iowa Supreme Court overturned that state's ban on gay marriages in 2009, and the state law requires couples seeking a divorce in the state to live there for 1 year beforehand. So that's the thing.
So did they move up there for a year, fall back in love, and then didn't get the divorce? That sounds like a good chick flick. I think I just wrote a fucking movie.
There you go. But 17 states currently recognize same-sex marriage, and differing laws between states have led to similar court decisions. In neighboring Mississippi, a woman who is legally married to another woman is asking the state to recognize their California marriage so she can get a divorce. In Kentucky, a federal judge has struck down that state's ban on recognizing same-sex marriages performed in other states, and couples in Missouri are now challenging the law there. Eventually, this is going to get to all 50 states.
I'm picturing Nevada. Like, remember when divorce used to be harder to get back in the Mad Men era? And then Nevada was like, come live here for 6 weeks and we'll divorce you. And women would go to divorce ranches and just take a 6 week vacation and then get divorced as residents of Nevada. I'm picturing Nevada can cash in on this right now by having, we will divorce anybody. Like, just get down here, stay in one of our casinos. You can be divorced by tomorrow.
Seriously, California should do that. Like a 2 week. 2 weeks. You come here for two weeks. You buy a package. You come to, this is how we can get revenue. And I love that. And
actually, somebody's doing that. Like San Diego, somewhere. I just read some places doing like same day divorces. Like a self-service thing at the courthouse. Yeah. Where you just, if it's not contested and not weird and there's nothing, you just go and like, whatever.
I don't know what I think about that. Like, part of me is like, that is amazing. But then another part of me is thinking, maybe
why
it's
are we
too
protecting
easy.
The sanctity of marriage, damn it?
Well, gays
well,
already
not even
it.
The sanctity of marriage, actual... but it's just like how many like instantly divorced people who haven't processed anything of what we've gone through do we want back in the dating pool? Like, at least you have that sort of
It's true.
You know,
that's
like,
totally true.
Oh, it's done. I'm totally divorced. I'm totally single. Fuck that bitch. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it should be harder than breaking up with someone that you've been to the movies with 3 times.
Yeah. It should be.
That's a good point. And you mentioned Mad Men. That's actually how they did Don Draper's divorce on Mad Men. She got on the plane with the kids, with the politician, went out to Reno. So Mad Men coming back soon. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Not as excited as I am for Deadliest Catch, though. That show looks cool this year. More Deadliest Catch.
Well, yay.
Hey, speaking of traditional marriage, this one didn't get off to a great start. According to a report from Reuters, a man on his honeymoon got so drunk and belligerent that his flight to Costa Rica was diverted to Grand Cayman. A U.S. citizen was escorted from the flight after it landed by the Cayman Islands police and was being held in custody on a charge of drunken disorderly conduct. The man also decided to pick a fight with his new bride, who did not stay there. She continued on to her original destination, leaving her new husband behind. So
that same day divorce thing would have came in real handy.
This one, I think this one you could qualify for an annulment. I'm pretty sure.
So fast.
Yeah. I mean, that's a crazy. I thought that was very interesting. It's like, let's go on our honeymoon. I'm going to get so drunk, I'm going to be a dick. And then we'll get arrested.
I feel like you should have like seen. I think that should be a requirement too. That you should see your partner if they drink, completely wasted. It's one thing if they don't drink, but if completely wasted, so you know this is the absolute, for better or for worse, right?
There's the worst
laid out, so no surprises.
And you have to stay with them like through the night and hangover.
Exactly. That is true love, and I think that's a true measure of like, because once I've seen couples, they see the other person really intoxicated, they're like, nope, out, peace. I did not sign up for this.
Yeah.
That's not who you want to marry. You want to be there with someone that's gonna, you know, be there for you and rub your back and hold your hair while you throw up.
It is a good test. I wasn't as a result of drinking, which was too bad, but I got like raging terrible stomach flu when Rob and I were traveling once. We were probably only been dating for like 3 or 4 months, and we were staying in a teeny tiny flea bag hotel room in Lake Tahoe, where you just don't want to have that level of intimacy with someone when you're still in like very much the honeymoon period of dating. Yeah. Where you're in the bathroom and doing all just things that shouldn't happen and no one should have to listen to. And he did not like run away screaming, which is what I would have done. I would have been like, peace out. I want to stay here. I'm going to get another room next door. You're on your own.
He kept a stiff upper lip through the whole thing.
He did. He was very kind.
Your husband's a good dude.
He is. He's a good guy.
That's because he's imported.
That's right. It's because he's imported.
They don't make him like that in America.
No, he's British and fancy.
No.
Oh, shit.
Which is good. I'm curious to see what happens. So as we're taping the show on Tuesday, I've been getting updates all day that like there's some kind of terrible injury vortex around my house right now, because he stepped on a piece of glass this morning. Ew. Don't know where it came from in the kitchen. Then my kid fell off a chair in like an IKEA bathroom. I don't even know what chairs in an IKEA bathroom, but it must have been a flat pack at some point. And like sliced her tongue, or like bit her tongue on the way down.
Shit.
And then she burned her hand in a light bulb. I'm getting like updates of pictures of, I'm all, what is going on?
You should put your kid in bowl wrap for the day.
I know. It's bad. I got this picture of her sitting at the table with her hand in like a bucket of water.
Aww.
the sad face, and I was like, all right, everybody should just go to bed. Put a lot of pillows around and hope for the best.
Either that or just go sit in the backyard in the middle where nothing can touch
where nothing can get to you. I'm sure that'd be like mosquito bites or something.
Yeah, because the fucking weather's going to go nice and shit. Yeah,
Nate, you're 100% right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed hit that. I didn't mean to hit that one. I meant to hit this.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
I'm also 100% right, though.
Small town news.
All right. We found a new small town. I'm so excited. I was literally filled with glee when I found this small town paper. It's Grand Forks, North Dakota. The Grand Forks Herald.
Even its name sounds fucking small town and shit. Like,
no, it's grand.
It is grand.
It's like they're overcompensating. It's like when a guy drives a big truck.
Grand, are you? Oh, this lady.
Headline.
She's great.
The Eat Beat. It's easy to go light or go full at Ruby Tuesday.
She's famous.
Oh, is this the lady who reviewed the Olive Garden? I love her. Mm-hmm.
The long, well-stocked salad bar is the focal point of Ruby Tuesday, and on a recent visit to the upscale restaurant... I'm sorry, if Ruby Tuesday is an upscale restaurant, you live in a small town.
Come on, black parachute pants, man. Have sympathy for her.
Dude, I do. I would have killed people for Ruby Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, when Sizzler came to my town when I was in high school.
Sizzler was some good shit.
It was, we were like cheese toast for days.
Yeah, when I got an A... That's where we went.
Cheese toast, man. Cheese toast.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Here was the treat for me. We would drive 45 minutes to Barrie to go to Burger King. Dude. That was like a huge treat.
45 minutes
That's
for Burger
commitment.
King?
Yeah. Well, we were going for another reason, but it was like Burger King.
I remember hometown. I mean, I don't know what hometown's like now, but like back in my day, my mom liked to treat us. She'd take us to hometown. Hometown buffet. That was, yeah. Oh, I want to go back.
She continues, I found grazing through the salad bar created a pleasing, healthful lunch. From the extensive garden bar, I chose sliced tomatoes, pickled beets, ham, egg salad, greens, broccoli, and edamame.
Oh, I love her.
By then, my plate was full, and I joined the group in a booth. The glass over the salad bar seems to keep the foods protected, and I would go back any time just for the good tastes it offers and the good nutrition there. But there's much more to Ruby Tuesday, which opened in Grand Forks on October 26, 2011. The menus, as at many chain restaurants, are almost overwhelming. You get a menu for the day, you get a large appetizer menu, you get a lunch or dinner menu. So I took the easy route for a late lunch at Ruby Tuesday on February 17th. From a single sheet that came with two large menus, I chose baked ravioli, $10.99. It arrived in a hot, very hot state, and I approached it with caution. It was very well seasoned and laced with spinach and topped with sharp-tasting cheese. With the two dainty baking powder biscuits that arrived promptly, it was a very adequate meal. Well, I guess you can't.
Very adequate.
It was very adequate. And that's what draws me to Ruby Tuesday. It's adequacy, apparently. You can go with salad, or you can opt for anything from an appetizer to a full dinner of seafood, chicken, steak, pasta, or ribs.
Sticking.
That's what she does after. It's a good place for a casual luncheon and an inviting ambiance for dinner. There's a staff of 75 full and part-time workers. The servers wear black, and those I have met are well-trained and courteous. There's a lot to like and a little to criticize at Ruby Tuesdays. I like the cloth-like napkins that come wrapped around the silverware. I did find the carpet sweeper a little off-putting in the early afternoon, and I was disappointed in the ladies' room, which needed attention, even though it was on a busy day. I found the fountain drinks are $2.49, which seems like the going rate these times. Still, it keeps me on a water course. I was interested in the tables that look square but have leaves on all four sides that can be turned up to create a round table. That's right. The square table can become round. The restaurant has an appealing art and is tastefully decorated. Ruby Tuesday seems to me like one of the stars in the restaurant scene in Grand Forks.
Wow.
She's so thorough.
I kind of want to eat there, but at the same time, I'm like really sad for her.
Well, you can go to any Ruby Tuesdays because they're all the same.
That's true.
I've never been,
They're closing a bunch of them. I'd be worried about
it. Oh, no, you should go.
Not after this article.
Well, I know.
Not this one. So her name is Marilyn Haggerty. And it's funny because she's fresh and new and not like the normal ones we've been hearing from the Press Republican in Plattsburgh. Now you're all like, oh, she's great. She's just as boring as that. It's the same sort of thing.
Oh, my God.
I don't know, but it's the same like template that anybody uses to review any restaurant and
it's just folksy.
Just go in and like replace all the words with like Red Rabbit and then it'd be like, oh cool man, hip.
It's true. I guess I have been jaded by living in the
major metropolitan area. Yeah, that
you got to eat local. I have friends who don't eat at chain restaurants at all. They're like, no, I don't want to eat at a chain restaurant.
I have friends that do that too.
I almost never do, just because a lot of them don't have anything I can eat.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is fair.
Did you see that the Chipotle now offers their pinto beans not with bacon?
Yes, and the sofritas, the tofu filling,
have gone national.
Incredible. Yeah.
Chipotle is just wonderful.
I eat Chipotle like once a week.
Some hot vegan talk.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so yes. I kind of want Ruby Tuesdays and Chipotle right now.
Oh, well, you could. Here's what you should do. You should, after we finish the shows, you should hit Chipotle and get a burrito for an appetizer and then hit Ruby Tuesdays.
Oh,
and
God.
Then just completely put yourself in a food
the
coma.
Get some stickin'. Can you order it through Amazon?
You could.
Through the Nate Darling tab.
Thank you for mentioning that. I was going to mention that next. We appreciate you listening to the show and we appreciate you shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. It's simple, it's easy, and we love you when you do it. It's you go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, and then go to town. Buy whatever you like. You know what I bought this past week? It's not going to be exciting, but it was very useful. I bought razor blades, replacement
Ooh,
razors,
exciting.
Which are super expensive, even at Walmart. They beat the Walmart price by like 30%.
Wow.
And I didn't have to find somebody to unlock them. I didn't have to wait in the line where they sell cigarettes to people who still smoke. they did that for a while at Walmart. You had to wait in the tobacco line because people were stealing. Yeah, it sucked. And they were delivered right to me, so it was super easy. You do that, it helps support the show, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
We received our copy of Frozen today as we're taping.
Oh.
That we ordered, I think. If we didn't order it through the tab, that's Rob's fault because he ordered it. So hopefully.
Is that how you're making up for your child's misfortunes for the day? It's like, sweetie, exactly. You've gone through hell, but here's a copy of Frozen.
And I believe just yesterday we got our next shipment of cat litter from Amazon.
Yeah.
Which Ted has been doing now. It's like 40 pounds at a time.
Yeah, the UPS guy must love him.
Like, God damn it.
It's like, what the fuck is this?
Well, I got all excited because I didn't know we ordered it. And I opened up, you know, the door to the patio and there were these huge Amazon boxes. And I was like, oh boy, what did we get? And I was like, oh, it's the litter.
Aww. Aww.
It's not for you, but you can play in it. All right, that's going to do it for us. Remember, tomorrow night, Thursday night, Diana is?
I'm at Chaser's Bar and Grill, ? Hit me up on Facebook, Diana Hong. Please do so I can... That's how I feel better about myself.
And she's also on Twitter. It's at Bitches Preach.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And the Well Hung podcast is right here on this very website every Monday. So please enjoy that. Thank you, ladies, for a lovely show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
We enjoy
always it. A pleasure seeing beautiful ladies and hearing sexy voices at the same time.
There we go.
Hello.
All right. That's going to do it for the Wednesday episode. We'll see you again Friday with a fresh new show. Please, until then, enjoy Jesse McCartney as though you could help yourself. You're beautiful soul. Just anyone to hold. I don't want my love to go to waste. I want you and your